Good Monday morning, everybody. Hello, Leanne Moll. Look at you.
Hello.
New glasses?
Yes, I can see through them. The most important thing.
That's fantastic. So I'm over here. You can see me? Well done.
Yes.
Good. Very, very good.
You feel a bit seasick when you first get new glasses.
Do you? It like takes you a while to settle into it? Okay.
Yeah. But I've had a good weekend of getting used to them, so we're all good to go.
Excellent. Do you buy those at the same place that Fikile Mbalula gets his glasses? Because they look like the similar sort of design.
It's exactly what I was going for.
That's the look that you wanted, huh?
Well, it depends on a lot of things. Firstly, I had to make sure that they weren't metal arms because I'm allergic to those.
Then allergic?
I get all swollen and itchy and scabby and all of that
in my ears. Oh, my God.
Yeah, horrible. And then, so that limits you in some way. And then, because they are multifocals, you can't have them too deep at the bottom because now I have to read through the bottom.
Oh, so when you go like that, it's for far. I mean, you go like that, it's for close.
Yeah, or more like when I'm facing forward, it's for far. And then you just look through the bottom if you're looking at your phone.
It's so complicated.
Now you know why you see your parents going like this.
Yes, yeah.
Like holding your phone far away or trying to, yeah.
Yes.
It's all of that. The body still fails us in some ways, as hard as we try.
Well, I mean, yes. There's certainly stuff that starts happening. Like I was talking to my brother yesterday. He just moved house. And he's got like this ankle. He had an accident when he was, I don't know, in school. And after you've been carrying a lot of heavy stuff, he says it's just, there's nothing you can do, right? It's just going to be sore. And he said the last thing he wants to do is go to hospital to try and have it fixed and fiddled with. Because he reckons you do that, you're just asking for trouble. It's like it's going to get worse, not better.
You see, I felt the same way about my hip. And I've got a friend who has gammy knees, and she feels that way as well. But the thing is, things have improved gammy so much.
Knees. You got gammy knees?
She has gammy knees, yes.
Oh, man.
And she's petrified of going in because she thinks, you know, things will only get worse. But after my experience, maybe it's just because it's the hip, but I certainly have no regrets. Things have changed a lot.
No regrets. Well, for those people who are still a little bit confused, but there's stuff happening at the moment. So it's Cliff Central, but it's also The Real Network, which is just kind of a rebranding process. So that's going to be over the next couple of weeks so that you don't think suddenly you've been dropped into like a parallel universe where actually everything looks the same, but the name is different. So yeah, if you wondered what happened, like basically we've...
Tell us what's happening.
Cliff Central's become two different things. It's become, on the one hand, The Real Network, which will continue to broadcast this show live as it is. Nothing changes. And we will podcast it and everything else the way you're used to it going. And there'll also be new shows available on that platform. And then there will be the podcast party, which is something we launched in the run-up to these elections. Very much involved in... you know, content that's political, content that is about critical thinking, bringing in especially young people to the process. So they're basically going to be two separate vehicles from here on in. And really, for most people, won't make a difference.
Mm.
It won't even matter that much. But for, you know, anybody who's like paying attention to the detail, I need to just clear that up so nobody feels that we've left them out, you know.
Yeah.
Got it. Everybody must. It's not complicated, it really, and I don't want to spend too much time worrying about it. It's going to make very little difference to most of us. And for those who do, it's going to provide all kinds of opportunities that we didn't have before to sell shows, to create really, really interesting content, to be able to make, I think, for brands and for advertisers, to give them something that they can actually get involved in, which is very cool. And I think that's going to be an exciting new development. You know, things have been building up to this. We're turning, well, Cliff Central would be turning 10 the end of May or at the end of April. It's only a month away. And this year is already flying. I mean, yesterday I was complaining about how hot it was this weekend, and it really was. And then we suddenly had that monster hailstorm yesterday. Did you have that where you are?
Yeah, it came in bouts. You know, it was about 3 or 4 different storms lined up.
Yeah. So
every time you thought it was ending, a new one began. And what I was trying to...
What were those old people? Who were those old people?
That's for a story I have to tell you later.
Oh. I just saw these old people. I'm like, what the hell? Is that Leanne's weekend?
It's me and my new boyfriend. On our first date.
Oh, that's great. Yes.
So, I was trying to order food to be delivered. Mm-hmm. And because of the weather, all the deliveries had stopped.
So did you starve?
Yeah, I had about 12 almonds. I had my eyes set on something like really delicious, some Indian or something.
Yes.
And then I ended up having about 12 almonds, 12 and a half there were left.
Damn, that was your supper.
Yeah, probably more nutritious than what I was going to order.
Yeah, Snipe says that was one hell of a storm. Listen, that hail came down, and I haven't seen a hailstorm like that for a while, so it was kind of unexpected, you know? All the dogs were like rolling around in it. They love hail.
Yeah.
I think it feels weird. My dog had the best weekend of her life this weekend. She did all the things that a dog could do. So she was busy with the hail yesterday, but she also went on a dog walk. You'll like this, Leanne. She was raising money for the poor dogs.
So oh, she really? Was,
she did a little dog walk for charity. And you know, there was an animal clinic. Yeah, I know. She was being very philanthropic. She felt very full of herself after that. And I think she enjoyed it. I mean, there were all these other dogs. I didn't, because you know how much I love leaving the house, right? But she had a lot of fun. She was kind of making friends with huskies and beagles and everybody else. And she did, I don't know, maybe about a third of it. And then I could see that she was not so keen anymore. Neither was I. So I was like, good, get the hell out of here.
Anyway. Well, that's very good. I mean, she is royalty and all. So, you know, she has to give to the poor every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I sold it to her. I'm like, you know what? You it can't just be you being the spoiled dog and you know, you get and she really is like, she doesn't spend time on her own, because God forbid she should be alone, you know. She has to be looked after all the time, and she gets treated pretty damn well. People like her. She's cute, she's a good looking dog, so I think she gets special and preferential treatment a lot of the time. Let me show you a picture here quickly, show you what she got up to. Alice having her little walk. She was when we arrived there, the organizers had made something called a puppuccino. Have you ever heard of this?
Yes, it's like just the frothy milk stuff.
Yeah, so it's like whipped cream with a dog biscuit in it.
Oh, that's right.
Now, take a look. There she is.
Oh,
getting ready for a little walk.
Oh, and she's so cute.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say that we kind of skived off and disappeared eventually. I was like, nah, this is boring. Let's go. But she did, you know, we paid our money, and therefore she helped a good cause.
She made an appearance. Oh.
Yeah. So that was her best weekend ever. Lots of fun, lots of exciting new things. And I suppose for anybody who is, you know, interested in politics, it was a big weekend too, because we had all the party lists come out. So people are talking about that as well. Propaganda says, great weekend, 7 days of no water in Linden, Blairgowrie, etc. Oh, man, yeah. I'm sorry. Jesus.
Yeah, that's not Melville too. In fact, it's been longer for Melville. And I think we've had, where I am, I've had 10 days of low water pressure and then zero water the whole of yesterday. So I was driving around, finding places, knocking on doors. Please, can I wash my bits?
Oh,
with
no.
With my towel in hand.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had to do that late last night.
I wonder if people sign up for gym memberships when the water's off, because they suddenly realize, okay, well, I can shower there.
100%.
Definitely, right.
Yeah.
So yeah. SM says, we had major flooding in Dubai this weekend. Cloud seeding. Listen, the weather is bizarre. So I'm the Dr. Phil of South Africa. Your Dr. Phil launched his own channel. I don't think you can call me the Dr. Phil, but we've got Dr. Hanan on just now. He's like our Dr. Phil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Well, he's a lot more, I think, qualified Dr. Phil is, to be honest.
Yeah, Dr. Phil's not a real doctor.
Well, some would argue.
I like Dr. Phil. I always take the piss out of him because, well, you gotta sort yourself out here. You don't want to be treating your daughter like that. Meanwhile, he's actually like one of the few sensible voices in America when it comes to like how to raise kids and, you know, how to deal with family stuff and all the drama and psychological diseases. And you know what the guy's
in the land of the blind, you know, with him. And at least he can get through to some people because they do respect him. But where the respect is lost is often the people who've been on his show who then reveal all or tell all after they've been on. And their stories. No, even worse. So, you know, his producers will go and find these people in various parts of America. Let's say it's an alcoholic that they found who's desperate to stop drinking. And they'll go through all the processes. They'll sign all these documents. Then they'll fly them over the night before the show and put them up in a hotel room. But they'll leave the liquor fridge full. And so? Almost to ensure that these people end up pissed on the show the next day.
Yeah. Okay. So, Leanne, so
they plant things so that the show becomes more entertaining.
Of course, but that's what a producer does. That's why we send you a bottle of booze every morning before the show, and James makes sure that you get it before the show starts.
So there are all these things about how he manipulates people into
certain
things before the show.
It's a TV show. There is no reason that you should be sharing your psychologist's appointment with the rest of America. Of course, it's a TV show. Of course, there's an entertainment element built into it. We're not that naive. And by the way, have you ever been to a hotel where they didn't give you the bar fridge?
Oh, 100%. Especially if it's a corporate thing or a work thing, they probably won't, and you have to select it. But apparently they planted extra vodka in the car and all these stories.
Well, because these are hicks. He picks them up from the middle of, like, nowhere, Shittsville, Arkansas, and he flies them to L.A. And do you think he wants to keep them there for more than one night? Absolutely not. It costs a lot of money. And you bring these people in. They tell you their miserable life story. He gets to put it on TV. Good for ratings. And he gets to... tell them where they went wrong. It's good. That's TV. What did you think it was? You think when we used to have singers on Idols, we would make sure that they were stable people all the time? I mean, some of them would pitch up with G-strings on, you know?
What?
What are you going to do? People are, it's not to say that it isn't true. All the stuff that you've said about Dr. Phil, maybe they did make it a little bit easier for people to behave stupidly and embarrass themselves. Guarantee you they did the same with the Jerry Springer show. I guarantee they did the same with Oprah. For heaven's sake, Oprah launched Dr. Phil, remember?
There's a show, Love is Blind. Have you heard of it? It's in season six now.
This is the one where you only get to see the person that you fall in love with, like in the last episode or whatever?
No, that's Married at First Sight. That's more like that. Love is Blind, you get to meet each other through these pods, separate pods, so you can't see each other. And that's for about 2 weeks or whatever it is, not even. And you date, I think it's like 15 males and 15 females, and you date everyone. And you actually end up making a proposal through this wall. You can't even see the person that you've now fallen in love with over the last few days. You propose to marry, and then you see each other. Then you go to like Mexico or to the Dominican Republic or whatever, and you go and have this like 2 week honeymoon, and then you actually get married if it gets that far. But that's at its peak at the moment because the show has concluded, and now it's time for the reunion show, which airs on Wednesday, I think. And everyone's going crazy about it. So for that, you have to go through serious psychometric tests and all of that sort of thing. But I swear the channel finds people who are just on the border.
Who are like
just slightly cleared, but are going to create drama. And how many of these people are already engaged or already in relationships, and they come on the show and they propose? It's crazy.
Of course.
It's absolutely hilarious.
I mean, you've got to realize this. And for people who don't know this by now, it's like people who still think that that TV wrestling stuff is real. It's not. I hate to break it to you guys, but like a lot of TV is made for you to mindlessly absorb and entertain yourself. And it seems, you know, like soap operas are still the most popular thing in South African television. You know why? Because some people think it's real. And the same goes for all these reality shows. They're not reality shows. You think that those Real Housewives, you think they sit there and this is how it actually goes down? You think that they're blissfully unaware of the cameras? They're all acting up. The producer says, hey, did you hear this one said something really bitchy about you? Other one goes, oh, I can't believe it. He's like, save that reaction until we hit roll. And then they, you know, lights, camera, action. And then suddenly, did you call me that, you bitch? And then they start fighting with each other. What do you think? It's all, it's just happens. They're lucky enough to have the cameras rolling at the right time, or they've got them on 24/7 and they've got some poor editor who has to go and find the best parts. No, it's all set up. Come on.
Did you see Sharon Osbourne, Ozempic Sharon as she is now, or Ozempic Osbourne? She's on Big Brother at the moment. So she's stuck in a house somewhere.
Why would Sharon Osbourne do that? I mean,
I have no idea. She really doesn't need to.
No, I love Sharon Osbourne. I mean, I think that she's definitely had a little bit too much work done, in my opinion, but I've always found her entertaining. I always think that she's very upfront, honest, straightforward.
Very real. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's, for whatever reason, she put her family on TV a long time ago. So maybe she's just got a major thing for TV and whatever. I mean, the Kardashians do as well, right? And it's worked for them. It's worked for the Osbournes, worked for the Kardashians. But I think, you know, here's Sharon. She's had a good career. She's a tremendously successful woman, married to Ozzy Osbourne. She was his manager for a very long time. She's an impressive woman. But I have to ask, why would she want to be on this show? Why would she want to be in Big Brother? It's like such a step down for her. She doesn't need the attention. She doesn't need the money. She's 71 years old, this lady. Come on, Sharon. What's this all about? Who are you trying to impress?
Yeah, I don't understand. And she's in there with one of the other co-hosts from the show that Simon Cowell does. He's a guy with gray hair.
Louis Walsh.
And that's it, yeah. And the footage has apparently now been pulled because, well, they had to do something. I'm not quite sure. Were they stopped the live feed or something because her and Louis Walsh were bad-mouthing other celebrities. But I mean, if you know Sharon, you know she's just telling the truth.
I love her. What? So who did she go after?
She went after James Corden.
I hate him. Good.
Yeah, she went after him. She went after Anna Wintour, calling her the C word.
That's great.
This is just these two old people lying on like beanbags or whatever, talking about people that they've met before.
Great.
And Ellen DeGeneres came up.
She said
she makes me want to vomit.
All right. Well, listen, God bless you, Sharon. I mean, this is her entertaining the rest of us, right? But
yeah,
I really don't get why she would do it. But since she's on there, that's great. I heard a little bit about this because, you know, I'm back on Twitter now and I was checking out my feed. And one of the things that came up is this clip of Sharon Osbourne saying, oh, James Corden is like the biggest name dropper in the world.
Yes.
He's so, all he does is he drops names like stones everywhere he goes. She said, I can't stand him. I thought, wow, okay, she's really tearing him a new, but I couldn't figure out where it was from. Now you've explained it to me. Now I understand.
Yes. So it's all happening.
I can imagine James Corden is a big name dropper. In fact, I've got the other person who I've always thought was a terrible name dropper, and he is. His whole book, I had to review this book of his once, and it was basically just him name dropping from beginning to end. It's over here. Oh, there it is. Piers Morgan. The book is called God Bless America. All he does in this book is just drop names. It's like, I met this one, and then I was with this one, then I was invited to party with this one, and I know this, but it's just so boring. And you can see, like, it was Oscar weekend, right? So they had the Oscars this weekend. Somebody said that in the comments that apparently Al Pacino did one of the Oscar awards, but he screwed it up completely. Like, Al Pacino went on, and he announced the winner before he'd even said who the nominees were. Yeah, Carl. Thanks for that, Carl. So he says Hollywood have lost their minds because it's a whole bunch of old people. But I'm not surprised. And they had Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel. Had Kimmel on hosting it. Apparently, it was all just so lame. Just lame. I'm not surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't have watched the Oscars. So thank you, Carl, for giving us that bit of info, because otherwise we wouldn't have known anything about the Oscars this morning.
So I actually did read up on it this morning. It came up as a BBC alert. I was like, are you really alerting me to this? But anyway, so Oppenheimer was the biggest winner. They got seven awards, including Best Picture and Best Actor for Cillian Murphy. Right. Also won Best Supporting Actor for Robert Downey Jr. Best Director for Christopher Nolan, plus film editing, cinematography, and original score.
I'm guessing that Oppenheimer was a crowd favorite. I would have said that would have won the awards anyway.
Well, I mean, they had 13 nominations.
Yeah, not bad.
Emma Stone won Best Actress for her role in Poor Things, which also won Best Production Design, Makeup, and Costume Design. Best Supporting Actress went to The Holdovers star Davine Joy Randolph. Barbie, which was last year's highest grossing film, received just one award, and it was just for the song by
But are you surprised?
Eilish and her brother.
What are we going to give it an award just because it was there and it grossed a lot of money? They never give the best grossing movies all the awards, do they? They never do.
No. I think the way the journalist has written the story on the BBC is just he's filled in, or they have filled in information by saying, by the way, it was last year's highest grossing film. I think there was a lot of build up, and the awards before the Oscars, Barbie did really well. So I just think it's probably a little bit of a surprise that they didn't receive as many awards.
Mapelo says it's really bad on The Real Housewives. Most people believe all that stuff is real. I figure it out very early. There's no way grown adults would behave like that. Well, you'd be surprised, but yes. I mean, that's why they choose those people. It's a casting process. It's not a reality show that, you know, they obviously take submissions from people who are attention seekers and then they cast them on the show. I mean, this is why Sharon Osbourne's such a coup, because she does run her mouth about everybody. And I think it's about time. I think, you know, people like Anna Wintour, who's been at the top of the fashion world for, I don't know, 100 years, however long that crypt-keeping woman has been there. I mean, she's definitely hugely influential and she's very powerful in the fashion world, but she seems like she's a total pain in the ass. And for Sharon to say that is excellent, because why should Hollywood keep this veneer where everybody, you know, who watches the rest of us normal people, where we can't criticize them and they all protect each other. I like the fact that Sharon's out there saying horrible things about Anna Wintour and James Corden. Somebody said here in the comments, it's Carl. He says, James Corden must be one of the most insufferable people in Hollywood. And then Robert says, Alan, I suppose you mean Alan Ford. He also loves name dropping. Oh my God, yes. No, he's a big name dropper. On this show, you just bring Alan on here. Oh, you know, I was talking to my friend Naomi Campbell the other day. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you get people like that, and they're generally, their perfect job description would be like something like eventing or PR, where they kind of remember. I mean, you and I have met so many people throughout the years that we could name drop, but the thing is, I don't even remember half of them because we don't place such high importance on that. Whereas there are some people who, for them, it's absolutely everything in their lives.
I hope I don't name drop because, yeah, I mean, I've met lots of cool people, but there's something really, something exhausting about people who just want you to know that they know famous people or rich people or important people. I really try hard not to do that because to me, someone is either the kind of person you want to spend more time with or less time with. And it really doesn't have much to do with their job or their fame or their wealth. There's some people that you just love to spend time with. Am I right?
Yeah, 100%.
Somebody says here, Masters of the Air, joking atheist says, Masters of the Air is going to grab all the awards for a series. Mark my words. I've heard such good things about this. My brother was actually telling my dad that.
Is it a pilot thing?
So I think it's about World War II. And the people who used to fly those missions in World War II. I'm not 100% sure because I haven't seen it yet, but I believe it's brilliant. So yes, Slippery Pickle or Joking Atheist, too. It's Joking Atheist. Yeah, you're right. Very good. Very, very good from what I've heard. So we've got to quickly pay a little bit of attention to the politics over the weekend, and we've also got to get some sport in, which we'll do in a second. But apparently, they've all released their lists. So I saw it was so easy. Supposedly we weren't meant to see this list. The ANC is complaining that the list was leaked from the IEC. I think once the IEC receives the lists, it is their job to share it with us. We shouldn't have secrets, right? I mean, these are political parties who are vying for your vote. You should know who's on their list because those are the people that are going to get the jobs if they get enough seats in both parliament. You know, if they get into the executive, then there'll be placements there and in provincial legislatures, local. That's why we need these lists. So within probably a space of, I don't know, half an hour on Saturday morning, I woke up and I suddenly had seen MK's list, the ANC's list, and the EFF's list. I couldn't find any of the others, and I don't think anyone's all that interested in the others because everybody's really interested in this MK party. And I saw some research that someone had published yesterday, the Brenthurst Foundation had published, about the MK party and how they may just be the biggest party in KZN. They might even be bigger than the ANC. Of course, if the DA and the IFP throw in together in the multi-party charter, they might have more. But it's quite a thing. You know, these lists matter because the people on them will become the people we end up having in important positions. So Jacob Zuma's at the top of the MK list. Julius Malema's at the top of the EFF list. And Cyril Matamela Ramaphosa is at number one on the ANC's list. So we have to see what happens. But I did notice something really funny. Carl Niehaus, who everyone in South Africa hates, everyone, even the EFF, who he's joined, he's number 187 or something on the EFF's list. So he's basically, he's sold his soul to be number
187. Yeah.
Really?
Demoted himself.
What a loser. So if anybody was really curious about where Carl Niehaus fits in, he's number... number 187 or something like that. Can you imagine that? You think, oh well, I'm finally going to leave the ANC because they've basically thrown him out. They've said you're a disgrace and embarrassment. And let me tell you, for the ANC to throw someone out and say you're a disgrace and embarrassment, that's a hell of a thing, because they'll take anyone. And then he joins the EFF and he's like standing out there with a loud hailer and a red beret on, and he looks like he's helping them out with all their election campaigning. And people are like, oh well, you know, Carl Niehaus, he's obviously going to be important in the EFF. turns out he's not important at all.
Yeah,
I think number two on the EFF list is Floyd Chivambu. Number three is Dalim Pofu. Number four is somebody else. Then there's Godrich Gadi. Then there's Buisen Ntlozi. So it's kind of who you expected on the EFF's list. The ANC is also pretty much who you'd expect. I did see, though, that a lot of those heavyweight, if you'll pardon the pun, ANC women, like you've got Thandi Modise and you've got Naledi Pandor and all of those people, they're right down in the 80s. They're not like up near the top, which is, I think, quite interesting. Number two is Paul Mashatile on the ANC's list. No real surprises, though, it's got to be said. Mm. You know, it's not like there's suddenly someone at number five and you're like, who's this? I've never heard of this person. A lot of those names I wouldn't know off the back of my hand, you know?
Yeah.
And we're still waiting for the other smaller parties. So if you know anything that we don't know, I'd love to hear about it. Imagine how crap the EFF's candidate number 189 must be, unless the list stops at 189, says Tracy. Yeah.
I know
there are EFF posters all over the North Coast and not many others. Yeah, they've obviously got some funding from somewhere.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because you used to only see EFF posters on the outskirts of the CBD, not the CBD, but the urban areas. Mm-hmm. You would see them going out onto almost where you were reaching other provinces, or where there are big swathes of land with nothing much else. Yeah. And now you're seeing them sort of in Sandton City.
Right.
But what was interesting as well is there was a party in Cape Town. I don't know what they were called, the Western Cape, and they claimed to have 58% interest and supporters. But apparently they weren't even able to make it on the list. They didn't even get 200 signatures. So somebody's been making false claims.
Now, people were saying that Musi Maimane was going to quit. That was that press conference that Pumi tipped us off about on Thursday. But it turns out, no, Bosa are very much in. That's his Building One South Africa. And Musi's happy to go in, and he's got the signatures. So he's definitely in. All right, let's turn our attention to some sport. We've got producer James standing by. Good morning, producer James. How are you? You don't have sound. You need to unmute yourself.
I'm getting there. Can you hear me now?
Oh, boy. Well, You're on.
All right. Fine. Okay. Good.
Yeah, well, it's an embarrassing thing to have to unmute yourself when you're the producer. Okay, so let's turn our attention to a little bit of sport this Monday morning, because what we do on a Friday is Ben gives us a little rundown of what we can look forward to. And then on a Monday, we get to check out the results of what we did watch over the weekend. And maybe if you missed some of this, this will be news to you. So let's get to it. Beyond the Scoreboard, brought to you by Superbets. What do you got for us, producer James?
Right. So we're going to start in the world of rugby, Six Nations, some massive upsets. Italy beats Scotland 31-29. Right. Which is absolutely crazy. That kicked off the weekend of the underdogs in the Six Nations. Then England took on Ireland 23-22 there. What happened in that game was quite crazy. There was a last-second drop goal by Marcus Smith, which would see that drop goal stopping Ireland from going back-to-back in this championship, which, again, just crazy. And then Wales 24, France 45. Quite a scoreline there. The French played incredibly well for that result. And I mean, the scoreline obviously shows that one. On to the world of football. And as you can see, I'm wearing a Liverpool shirt today. I wish I was wearing it under better circumstances. Today, it's just a string of support is what we're doing today. Liverpool drew 1-1 with City. As a Liverpool fan, I feel like my team was robbed. Many other people will say differently.
Say it for us in a Scouse accent. Go, we was robbed.
I've actually been working on my Scouse accent and I still can't do it. I can say a couple of names like Jordan. That's how they say Jordan in Liverpool, which is crazy.
All right.
Liverpool Bad City 1-1. Like I said, Reds robbed. In my opinion, that's just how I feel as a Liverpool fan. Speaking of the Premier League, it's heating up. I do have to tell you guys that this is getting incredibly tight with about 10 games to go. Arsenal went top of the log this weekend on 64 points. After Liverpool's game, they're also on 64 points. And in third place on the log is Manchester City on 62. So the top three teams, 10 games to go, it's getting quite intense. Arsenal having won this weekend 2-1, and Spurs having beat Villa 4-0 with a goal from Son, of course. The guy always scores. Then moving on to local football, PSL Pirates played Chiefs in the Soweto Derby. There was a double brace in that game from both teams. Monapule Saleng and Ashley Dupreez were both the goal scorers there. And then Sundowns beat Chippa United to go 12 points clear ahead of Pirates on the log. And just to put that into context for people that aren't heavy into sports, the AFCON was not so long ago, and most of the Bafana squad were players from the Sundowns setup. Sundowns are still 12 points clear on top of the log in the PSL, which is just crazy. Moving on to cricket, India versus England, fifth test. India won by an innings and 64 runs. Kuldeep Yadav taking 5 for 72. Also taking player of the match, as well as Ravichandran Ashwin taking 4 for 51. And then lastly, the Formula One, the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. I also have a Red Bull shirt. Probably should have worn that today.
Yeah.
Red Bull.
Then at least you'd have some victory on your side.
Red Bull went 1-2, which was also absolutely insane. And then, of course, Slippery Pickle reminding me the UFC happened this weekend. Francis Ngannou, Anthony Joshua. Wow, what a knockout. That was just one of the wildest knockouts I've ever seen in my life. And what an end to a fight. And that's your sports wrap on this Monday morning.
And very good. Before everyone loses their shit in the comments, Brad Binder, MotoGP, came second.
Wow. Very good. I did miss that one, I'm not going to lie, but that's actually very impressive. Good for the guy. Good for the guy.
Apparently his bike is souped up and all done up for this year. Yeah, apparently it's a step up. So people are expecting him to do well.
I should have done research. I am also hearing that he's pipped to maybe win the championship this year. I could be wrong. I'm just double checking right now. But he is a South African doing well overseas, which is obviously great for us.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's an excellent job there, James. Nice to have you on this morning to help us out with the sport. And if you want to find out more sports results, you can obviously get them all on cliffcentral.com. Plus, we will post all the important stuff that you need to know in the show notes. And by the way, if you haven't already, Superbets is worth having a go at, because as Ben told us on Friday, you could bet on any of these and you'll find the odds. And if you bet correctly, and if you are able to use the multipliers, like he said, you could win some serious money. But of course, they support responsible gambling. So strictly no under 18s, winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800-006-008. But go and have a go if you haven't already. Thank you, James.
No worries. Good. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good. And still to come, Dr. Hanan. We were talking about Dr. Phil earlier. We'll speak to our own Dr. Phil in just a short while. He's, of course, a renowned psychologist, head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And we're going to talk about how to avoid stupid conflicts on social media with strangers. I mean, it's something everybody gets into.
Yeah. And I think WhatsApp can easily fall into that category as well, especially your neighborhood groups.
Oh, man, the worst. By the way, so are you meant to, when you move, like my brother did over the weekend, are you meant to leave the group yourself, or does someone throw you out?
No, no one generally throws anyone out. You need to leave. But for instance, I haven't sold this property that I've left. It's been 2 years now. So I'm still on the groups because I'm a resident. So I need to know what's happening, you know, in terms of water, electricity, crime. And that area, for that house, I've got to be on three separate groups. And then I'm on one of my own now. So I have all these groups muted, and then every now and then I check in. But it's funny to see the later at night that it gets, people are more abusive. And
but are they straight up abusive? I mean, do they start like having a go at each other? Is there like aggression? What are you talking about, abuse?
Yeah, absolutely. There's racial tension, all sorts of things. Wow. And I think especially in the suburb that I'm talking about, because they've been battling for years now with water and electricity in a bad way, you know, beyond load shedding, there are other problems. I think when people are like, when they haven't had a shower and they come home, there's no water, there's no electricity, tensions run high.
Absolutely.
Not in a good mood.
Yeah. It's funny. It's the same with the economy. You know, if there's growth and the economy is getting better and people have opportunities and everybody's making a little bit more, then everybody gets along like a house on fire. But as soon as the tables turn and people are feeling financial pressure, that's when they lash out at each other. And you can see it. It's people, we were talking about this just last week. There's a bit of tension in the air. You know, people are, they're on tenterhooks for these elections. And that's why we were talking about the party lists earlier. It seems everybody is thinking about this stuff and talking about it. It's definitely on our minds, even if it's background noise a lot of the time. We're primed for losing our minds and being on edge, being ready to fight with each other at any given time. So I think it's apposite then that we talk to Dr. Hanan about this in a short while. There are some other things that I want us to talk about. And by the way, if you've got any issues that you want to talk to Dr. Hanan about, and you want to, you know, help other people, because that's essentially what you can do here. If you come on, let's say you've got some kind of problem that you want to discuss. You're having a fight with a work colleague, someone in the family. You're busy trying to keep your marriage together. Whatever it is, you come on and you do that here on the show with us, and we can keep you anonymous if you'd prefer that. But what it does is it helps other people, because maybe they're not as brave as you and they're going through exactly the same thing. And then they can hear the advice that Dr. Hanan gives you, and they might be able to help someone else. That's the whole idea. Election corruption is the first and foremost thing that's on my mind for 2024, says Joking Atheist. Well, I felt that way too. I was also kind of worried about that. And we've had two episodes of Democracy 101 with the IEC. And having met the people at the IEC who are doing the work behind the scenes, the actual guys in charge, I'm feeling very confident. I thought that they were all very impressive people. They definitely know what they're doing. They answered all of our questions. And you know, it's less down to the personality of the people, but you can always smell competence, right? And in a country like ours, where so many people are in positions because of politics, it feels to me like the IEC have got some properly, like, competent people in there. I'm certainly feeling a lot more confident about that since I saw them. So I hear you joking, atheist, and you're right to be a little bit cynical and suspicious around the elections. But I have to say, like, I'm feeling a lot better about things since we've spoken to them. And if you don't believe me, go and listen to the show with last week. We did the IEC, and then I think it was about 4 weeks ago before that. We also spoke to two guys who are actually in charge of election operations, and they really know their stuff. So go and take a look. Don't take my word for it. Listen to them yourself, and you make up your mind. It'll put your mind at ease a little bit about what kind of people we've got in charge of the election process and why it should be free and fair. Okay, it is Monday. Let's get to Dr. Hanan. Let's see what he can do to help us make our way in a more positive and optimistic fashion towards the start of a new week. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing well. How's your weekend, guys?
Very good. Do you take weekends off, or are you seeing crazies over the weekend as well?
Saturdays I do work till the late afternoon, but Sundays I take off.
Sure. So it's a 6 day week for you, eh?
6 day. Listen, depression doesn't have a break. Depression doesn't have a weekend. So try as much value as I can.
We were joking about how Dr. Phil has now got his own channel. He's launched this whole network effectively. And that got us onto talking about him and, you know, these TV doctors in general, and how much of it is just made up for shock and horror and to entertain an audience. But it does lead us to this discussion that I know you've got some stuff to say about today. And that is this idea that people are fighting. They're fighting online. They're fighting in person. Dr. Phil made a big play on Bill Maher's show about how he refuses to be pulled into politics. He says he's not a political guy. And then Bill Maher said to him, but you are. You know, the minute you talk about cultural issues, it's bound to be political. And Dr. Phil was like, no. Because I talk about cultural issues, and those happen to sometimes lead to politics, doesn't mean I'm choosing to talk about politics. It's just that culture comes before politics. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But when you're online, and people are tense in South Africa at the moment, I think they're tense in the world. You know, we've got conflict in Russia and Ukraine. We've got conflict in the Middle East. We've got massive financial pressures on people. The cost of living crisis in Europe, America's huge deficit and inflation problems. People are tense, Doc, and then they go onto social media and they vent.
So people do find this kind of public square on social media, as in the format of social media, to go out and not just give their piece, but become a part of something that makes them feel a sense of belonging, my tribe. So there are two reasons why mainly people go online and spew and ingest venom. One is because I want to see that I'm not the only one that feels the same way. I have my tribe. And two, the fact that other people arguing makes my life seem a little bit better. So when I see other people struggling, suffering, having and being less than me, then it kind of elevates my position and I feel better about my life. How many times have we spoken to anybody, whether it's a close friend or a distant friend, and we see that their lives are maybe much worse than us, which makes us look at our marriage, it makes us look at our sense of purpose and our financial security or insecurity, and in comparison, feel much better. We live our lives through comparisons. That's the way it works. We cannot get away from it, you know? So the whole notion of don't compare yourself to others, it's nice in theory, but in reality, we are going to, because that's in the contrast we find meaning. That is human nature and that's human psychology. You don't have control over whether you want to compare yourself to others. You have control of who you compare yourself to. So you've got to be very clever in terms of, and very bright in terms of who you compare yourself to, but you're going to compare. So yeah, the whole we are going to get onto social media. We are going to see other people arguing. We are going to see our tribe go against somebody else's tribe. But you just got to be very cognizant of what you ingest, because you could be ingesting things that actually make you feel worse.
Yeah. Leanne and I were talking just now about how some people go on there and they really just go on to fight with other people. I mean, even these neighborhood WhatsApp groups, right? And people are sometimes looking for a fight because fighting is their way of feeling noticed, their way of getting attention. It could quite easily be love as well. And I know one of the things we've talked about here is these people who get scammed online because they're so desperate for love. But they go online and someone says, oh, I love you. I'm gonna come and fly to see you, but you first got to send me 100,000 rand. And they do because they're lonely. They're lonely. And social media has opened up avenues for people to express themselves that were not there before. And frankly, were socially unacceptable before. You couldn't just go and stand in the street and scream, I'm lonely. Somebody pay attention to me, because you'd be put in the nut house. Now, of course, you can do that online, in other words, and nothing happens to you. There's no cost.
But, you know, what I see as a big issue is that we think that we just almost like inject ourselves with bravery the moment we go on social media, because we are behind a screen. We are behind this illusion. We are protected by a glass wall. And, you know, it's like somebody picking their nose in the car because they think nobody can see them. Or we feel that we can pull a zap sign at somebody in our car because we are protected by this metal cage. So we have become a lot braver the moment we are contained around something. And the moment we are behind a computer screen, we feel protected. We feel a little bit more brave. The truth is, Gareth, I mean, you would be the perfect subject. How many people say X, Y, and Z about you behind the screen, but when you meet them in real life? I'm assuming it's a completely different opposite game. I'm sure you receive a lot of love in real life. I'm sure you see a lot of people appreciate what you say. But behind the screen, people find this kind of sense of arrogance, and they feel that they can say whatever they want because it's anonymous and they're not really dealing with a real person. I mean, do you find that in real life versus the screen?
Well, the funny thing is that, you know, I'll be called all kinds of things by anonymous people online. And I've never, ever met anyone. There's never been anyone who's come up to me in public and said, oh, you're a son of a bitch, or I hate you, or whatever. It might be someone who's drunk sometimes and they'll feel a little bit confident. And then they'll come over and say, I really disagreed with something you said back in 2008. And I'll be like, who even remembers that stuff? But most people, 90 out of 100 people will be friendly as hell. And really, really cool and very nice and fun to talk to. And most of them have something interesting to say. So yeah, it's a totally different, and listen, I don't want us to go down the road that we've gone down before of separating out the virtual from the real life person. I'm interested in what you said just now about comparing yourself, because for most people, that is a big source of consternation and unhappiness. Who should you be comparing yourself to when you're online or in real life?
So it's a really nuanced and complex, it's a simple question, but a really nuanced answer. The truth is you should be assessing what you want to achieve in life. How many times do I say we need to be guided by our goals, not by our feelings? So when I ask 100 people, what do you want? 99 will not know, or 99 out of 100 will just give you a very general answer. I want to be happy. I want to be successful. I want to be, you know, in a companionship. But those are airy fairy answers that just don't really serve the journey. Because if you give a very general answer, well, what are you aiming towards? It's like saying, I want to reach for the stars. Well, which one? So you've got to be very specific in terms of what you want out of life. And the reason why people don't want to set goals is because one of the reasons is because they fear failure. They feel that they might miss the mark. So they'd rather set very general goals. So, for example, I might want to say, well, my aim this year, my New Year resolution is to lose weight, or to become a healthier version of myself. Well, that means nothing. I'd rather you say, what do you want to lose? How much do you want to lose? For what reason do you want to lose? But the reason why people don't want to set those goals is because they fear failure. So who should you be comparing yourself to? you should be comparing yourself to the better version of yourself that's in line with the goal, the same version of yourself that's chasing the goal. So if my goal is to, I don't know, just as an analogy, lose 2 kilograms of weight, blah, 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 I should be comparing myself to the person, my version, that is busy doing that, not to the social media influencer that's, you know, right, not really portraying a real version of themselves. You must remember, we're talking about social media now. It's not real. What you're seeing is, it's not even a part of somebody's life. It's a made up part of life. It's not real. So comparing your real life to somebody else's imagined life, it's comparing yourself to a fantasy. It doesn't work, and it makes you feel worse.
Could not agree more. So, all right. I mean, this helps with a lot of people and their social media anxieties. Leanne, you look like you got something to ask before I carry on. Give you a gap here.
No, it's just, it's interesting how we talk about reality versus, you know, people's lives that they put on for show. And I was just speaking to Gareth earlier about this Love is Blind series, where you're set up with these people and you end up marrying them, and how much stuff comes out in social media. You know, we all watch the show and we all create our own opinions. And once it's available to the public, members of the public start coming out saying, oh, I actually dated that guy. He pulled a gun on me. He was abusive. I actually saw that star that married so-and-so. He stole my friend's phone and her wallet. And how the pressure that these people are facing now, yes, they signed up to go onto the show themselves, and they signed these contracts. But you can see some of them like breaking down now. Social media is literally ripping into them, and they're losing a sense of who they are. Very powerful.
You know, we place these, never mind we see these fantasies, but we almost play into them and expect these couples to be real. We expect the love at first sight. We expect them to happily ever after with no real issues, no real conflict, no real drama. But in reality, listen, the moment you're put on planet Earth, you sign a contract and it says you are going to go through drama. You are going to go through conflict. You are going to go through disappointment. Somebody's going to let you down at some point. Suffering is part of the deal. You're going to go through grief and loss. That is part and parcel of life. And you're going to go through it whether you're alone or whether you're in a relationship. That is, the universe doesn't offer you a deal where that's not part of the deal. That's going to be part of the deal. What's part of the deal is, are you going to do something productive with it and get over it and learn and adapt and become a better version of yourself? Or are you going to let that sink you? And if you're going to, and that's up to you. That's not up to the universe. That's you choose. That's for you to own. And if you don't pick a position, then the universe just picks one for you. So you want to be, you don't want to eliminate those things because you can't. You want to learn how to manage it and move forward. You know, did I ever share with you the donkey and the tiger story? Did I ever share that on the show?
No, go ahead.
This is my favorite story because the punchline and the moral is brilliant, especially for our topic today. So the story is of the donkey is having an argument with a tiger. And the donkey says that the grass is blue and the tiger is saying that the grass is green. So they're going back and forth, the donkey giving his side of the argument why the grass is blue and the tiger saying that the grass is green. They're going back and forth and it's really raucous and it's really violent. It's almost becoming physical. So they decide, look, let's go to get judgment from the king of the jungle. So they turn to the lion and they say, Your Highness, who's right? Me, the donkey that believes that the grass is blue, or me, the tiger that believes the grass is green? And the lion turns to the donkey and goes, You are right. The grass is blue. And he punishes the tiger. And the donkey leaves all smug and happy that he's won the argument. And once a donkey leaves, a tiger turns to the lion and says, Your Majesty, why? I'll take the punishment. I'll take it. But why did you punish me when we both know that the grass is green? And the lion turns to the tiger and says, I didn't punish you because you were right. I punished you because you were arguing with a donkey. And how many of us argue with donkeys? People that add no value to our lives, whether it's social media, how many donkeys are there on social media? When we engage watch things that are donkeys, engage with conversations that are donkeys. You remember, we discussed the coin theory many times. engage in things that add value to your life. Donkeys decrease value. You want to engage with things that add to your world, not things that take away from your world. And I think the message for this week, and I challenge everybody to, is to not engage with donkeys.
I love it. Love it. We're going to have to leave it there. I just have to throw this in. This is pretty hilarious. Joking Atheist says he's definitely going to confront me on the 13th of June, 2029 about this show today. And I must not look forward to that. I've got to prepare for a real fight, perhaps my first. So I'm getting ready. Thank you, Joking Atheist. Love it. All right, Doc, very good to see you. We will check in with you in a week's time. Lovely. See Dr. Hanan, everybody.
Hi.
Cheers, cheers. Don't argue with donkeys. Good advice. First thing on a Monday morning. All right, we'll be back in just a couple of seconds with a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com and The Real Network and Leanne Moll on our show this morning. We've also got a special guest, somebody I've been waiting to get on the show for a long time because she makes me laugh. It's somebody called Shelley Bennett, who you'll get to meet in the next couple of minutes. I think you're going to enjoy her too. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. It is a beautiful Monday morning.